bow our heads to pray. Father, we give you glory and praise. Thank you for this hour. Thank you for our gathering is unto you and unto you alone. Thank you for the word that is sent to us. Indeed, it will set us apart. Thank you for the knowledge that we accrue. It makes us extraordinary. Thank you because we are blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Okay, you're welcome to church once again. And it's a great privilege to stand before you to deliver the word of God. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. One, two, go. Romans 15, verse 4. Whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning, so that we cannot be faster than technology. You know, it's not possible. Is it possible that we are faster than technology? Or you are going to think about it. As if, please. Romans 15, verse 4. It says, for whatever things were written before, were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. Hallelujah. Whatever things were written before, they were written for our learning. And that's the beauty that lies in our going and our studying the scriptures, so that we can bring forth those things that will give us comfort and hope. Amen. And the word of God is never out of season. It's never out of fashion. So tomorrow we may have everybody wearing tight trousers, and next tomorrow we have it all baggy. Hallelujah. And some people just never change. They don't follow the trend. Abi, those that want to wear baggy will just wear baggy. I remember when we used to wear high waist. You know, high waist. And then suddenly that disappeared. But that's not the way of the word of God. Hallelujah. And that's not God's way. His words, they are new every morning. Steadfast love of the Lord, it never ceases. They are new every morning. Hallelujah. Just like as I'm speaking to you now, some will say they are looking at my face, and some will be looking at my back, or some at my side. But it doesn't change the fact that it's still the same me that is speaking. They will just see different, they will just see me from different angles. And that is what explains our experience of God. God is the same, hallelujah. It's just that we have different, we see him from different angles because we need him in different ways. Amen. So for some, they will need him for they just like he says, give us this day our daily bread. That's all some people look up to him for. Some will be looking at they want to multiply their business, and they see him as the one that will lead. You know, so in different facets, that's what we see God. But he's God. Hallelujah. Amen. And his word remains the same. In 2 Kings chapter 5, so I've just, I always struggle so that I don't come to tell any story anytime I hold the microphone, but it has never worked. When I wake up, I say, I'm not telling any story today. I'm just going to come, read the scripture, and let us go. But it has never worked. Hallelujah. Amen. So I just know that that's the way God wants to deal with me. So if you think my stories are boring, please listen very well. Hallelujah. Because in the bottom, there is life. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you think they are funny, please listen very well. Amen. Because in all the humor that he is, there is God's word. Hallelujah. Amen. And never, never, never limit yourself. Some people just believe that God can't do anything through them. It's not so. I remember there was a time one of the brothers in this church, he came to give a testimony. And I remember one time also when same person was in the office and he was ill. You know, he was so terribly ill that they had to call me. From they came to my where I was sitting in the office. I think, Mr. Muwa, your son is not feeling fine. So when I got there, he was practically in tears. I don't know what is wrong. Everything. Yeah, calm down. He was just crying. And then it got better. And then fast forward, I mean, a year or two down the line, the same person, okay, was ministering to the people that came to call me to come and look at him. That is dying. You know, he was the one that was laying hands upon them. Hallelujah! And they were recovering. Amen. I just want to hide the person's identity. This one is my son. That one doesn't work in my office, so don't think about him. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the way things happen. And you have to understand that we are carriers of the Spirit of God. And it's when we open up our hearts, let go of whatever thing that can restrict us or whatever things that we think we know. Okay, because this knowledge thing is a problem. Whatever thing that we think we know, that's when we're able to experience God. Amen. Some, I think this is 2025. So I think in 2021, we went for power convention. I can't remember if it's 2021 or whatever. Please let me look for that power convention. The one that, not now, but later, the one that Pastor Praise from Abeokuta came to Ibadan. And he was ministering to people. And, you know, it just struck me. And that day, I had an impartation from God. And it was so much that if I stood before you, okay, God will tell me something to tell you. Hallelujah. And I got it from that meeting. So if you have a meeting now and I stand before you, he will tell me something for you at that point in time. And then at that point, when he will tell me from afar, it's when I stand before you, then I will pick it and then I'll be able to tell you. And then for a while, because I wasn't getting it, I didn't feel so comfortable walking around and standing before people. And I just felt, why should I be walking around, stand before people? But I knew that day that I got it. You know, and I've seen God show up over and over and over again. And I think we had a testimony on Thursday. God show up over and over again that way. So when I stand before you and I perceive and I'm able to see, and I do not refrain myself from saying whatever I perceive. I don't care whether it's right or it's wrong. That's God's business. Hallelujah. It's not his business. Amen. And you have to understand that if you let go and you let God, then you will see things happen. Amen. So, 2 Kings chapter 5, it says, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends me a man to heal of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks to quarrel with me. Verse 8, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and you shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. Amen. So we have four actors, or five, or six actors in this portion. Have you how many? Six, about. So the first one was Naaman himself. The second one was Naaman's master, which is the king, Abi. Then the third one was Naaman's mistress, okay? And then that's Naaman's wife. That makes how many? Let's count again. The first one, Naaman, then the king, then Naaman's wife, then the little girl, the servant girl, and then the king, the king of Israel. That makes how many?
Five.
Are you sure? And then the prophet, he makes six. Hallelujah. And everybody had a role to play in this story. Okay? But someone had an understanding of the end from the beginning than every other person. Hallelujah. And who is that person? Oh my God. I wish I were as spiritual as Pastor Sajiri. I know that God has an understanding of the end from the beginning. No problem. But in this particular story, out of these six characters, somebody saw the end from the beginning. Thank you, Grandpa. The little girl. Amen. The little girl saw the end from where she was staying, from the very beginning. The Bible says, and it says here, is that, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." So the girl wasn't even thinking that there's a possibility or there's a chance that he'll be healed. She was so certain that if only he just gets to the prophet, right, he'll be healed. And I don't know, nothing is said about this girl except she was a captive from Israel. Amen. And it goes a long way to show you again that in time past, people lived on testimonies of things around them and the stories that are around them, and they believed them to the core. Amen. Last week, I was asking us last week, that the book of Acts, people say that it didn't end. Abi, that we are the continuation of the book of Acts. So, if there's any controversy in this age and time, whether Christ is real or Christ is not real, we have the grace and the opportunity to go to the scriptures. Because if you take these scriptures to people that are dead and are gone astray, it's like foolishness to them. They can't interpret it. And the Bible says so. Okay? If we go to the scriptures and we read, the onus lies on us to go by what we have read and live by what we have read so that we're able to continue the work of the apostles. Amen. So if I'm asking us anything today, all I will say is, if you sit down and reflect on your life, you can now able to tell us whether the word of God is true or not. Amen. Okay. So the little girl says, "Look, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, then he will heal him of his leprosy." That's what she told. She told the mistress. And then the mistress looked at it. She didn't say, "This girl is a captive." And I think you need to give the household of Naaman a lot of kudos. I saw in verse 1 that the Bible talked about the fact that it was because of him that the Lord gave Syria victory. Because of Naaman. So that means that he had a heart that was teachable by God. Okay? Because the Bible says because of him, God gave Syria victory. Now, his wife or his mistress also, had a good heart. Okay? Because her husband was leprous. And then here is a captive saying, "If only you go to Israel." And meaning that when you look at Israel and people talk about Israel in those days, they knew what the God of Israel was all about. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's no second guessing them or saying that, what's Israel? You know, when they say, when you are looking for certain things in this country, we know where to go to. Abi, if you are looking for works of calabash, where will you go? In this country. Works of calabash. Is your no Vifi? Ah. It's not lost to. Eh? It's Yoruba land. Thank you. At least blessing said there's Yoruba land. Where are the Yoruba people? They are not here today. Okay. I'll give them assignment. How many are they? Ola, Dari, Sunday, Toby, Remy, Ola. Why did you say it? I didn't hear it. We have in Oyo. They do that in Oyo. Hallelujah. And when you are looking for different things, you know, when I was growing up, if you wanted to buy local sponge, there are two types of local sponge. The ones that the northerners make and the regular ones that you pick. My mother would never buy the regular ones. You will look for the ones that the northerners make. She said that one will make your post. She says you will open up your post. All this, your debt will go away. And up to today, she doesn't use any other thing except that. And it's amazing. So when I go, I see it. I see Mr. Tajiri. Hallelujah. So if you want, I can bring it for you. Hallelujah. Then you can be using it. It's not wood, you know. I don't know what it's made from. It's good sport. But I'm saying, so this woman understood the fact that her husband needed help. And she did not say that what's this girl? But another thing is, she would take the girls serious because of the things that they will have heard about Israel. Hallelujah. The person that spoiled this whole story is the king of Syria. He wrote, Naaman, she told his wife, his wife told him, and then Naaman went to him and said, please, you need to send, and it's just what we were talking about this morning, about constituted authority. Okay, so he understood that it has to be that his king sends him to that land, okay, and then the king wrote and said, you must heal this man of this leprosy. Amen. And he was taking it in another way. He says, look, this man is looking for trouble. How can he send somebody to you and say that you must heal him? He says, Am I God to kill and make alive? Now, between the girl, the captive girl, and the king of Israel, who was in a better position to say that this is easy peasy? You are telling somebody to me to heal is easy peasy. I will call for the man of God. Who was in a better position? It was the king. Why? Because he would have been having constant relationship with Elisha. And he knew that there was a prophet in the land of God. Because when they need direction or they need to understand what God wants them to do, he will go to the prophet. Amen. So it shouldn't have been too far from him that, look, okay, this one that they sent to me, let me call Elisha. But it was just a girl in captivity that understood the God that holds Israel together. Hallelujah. And was bold enough to say, look, if you just do it, then you will see. Hallelujah. How often do you and I remember that we serve a God that is limitless and has no boundary in the things that he can do? It's whatever you call impossible that becomes impossible. With him, there is nothing that is impossible. So it's when our mind and our heart plays with us that tells us that something is not possible. Because once our heart tells us that something is not possible, then we are going to shut down and we are not going to be able to allow God to do what he wants to do. Amen. And so, verse 7 says, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. Amen. Hallelujah. So, that also brings us to another point that we need to know, that everything around us is all about our perspective. You know, I've seen people write, I know some people when they write letters, and I probably chose to live my life that way. When you write emails and letters, so when you write sentences and there's no, what do you call those things? Exclamation, no punctuation, no nothing. So I'm just going to read it plain. So you say, we want to make sure that you send me my money tomorrow. I'm just going to understand that you said, we want to make sure you send me my money tomorrow. I won't say that you were shouting when you wrote it, or you meant it in a harsh manner, because everything you wrote was just in words, no exclamation mark, no nothing. Because the reason why those that wrote designed language to be written with those things so that you can take from them and you can imply the tone in which whoever is writing is writing. So I've seen a lot of people come and say, this thing you wrote is harsh. And I say, how does this define being harsh? Amen. Because I can't see any exclamation. I can't see anything. I don't see any punctuation mark that makes it harsh, you know? And I say, no. You have just chosen not to see it. I say, well, it's not there. So if somebody is asking, if you owe somebody and he's saying that, please make sure you send whatever you owe me, he's not being harsh. He's sending you a reminder. And for crying out loud, you put please, does that please doesn't it tell you that it's an appeal? You know, because people do things in different manners. Everybody just reads it anyhow. So this man says, this guy wants to pick a quarrel. I have sent somebody for me to heal. Am I God that makes and brings alive or makes dead? He couldn't see the fact that, you know, if you're somebody that says, okay, no problem now. You should have just struck a deal. We heal this guy, then you people will be bringing realities. If you have seen it that way, it will have been another thing. But everything in his head was about somebody against him and somebody that wants to keep quarrel. And we have to be this careful when we are dealing with people. Amen. When things come our way, number one, be sure that it's an opportunity for God to show himself. That's the first thing. Everything that comes our way, at the end of it, it must bring glory to God. That's the end of the matter. That God will be glorified. So when you say, why is he picking a fight with me? You are the one that is seeing that he's picking a fight. The man just sent a letter because they said because the girl told them in very affirmatively that once he sent this guy to Israel, he's going to come back healed. Now, the king should have just simply put that he understands that there's a prophet in Israel. Please send this man to that prophet. I am sending it to you because this is the war captain. It's war general. So that you won't see him and then think that it's war time. But of course, because he was his war captain and then he sent a letter that was not very detailed, he also thought that it's quarrel time. Amen. And then he says, in verse 8, he says, so it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Amen. He receives the letter. He thinks in his head that this is about a war. And then he tears his clothes. He did not look for help. And help was within. As just when we relate these things, we relate it to ourselves. Help was within. And yet he refused to see it. Because he was seeing things from a different perspective. If God is at the center of everything that we do, okay, when things come, if the first object of reference will be God. Hallelujah. And then you just smile. And usually, all the time, when things come, he says that when these trials and temptations come, you count it all joy. Because we are what? Well able to overcome. It will not bring you anything your way that you cannot deal with. Now, he says, nothing will come your way that you cannot overcome or deal with. Now, that overcome and deal shows you that there has to be some resistance to the situation. You are not going to say that there's nothing coming my way that I cannot, and then you sit down and do nothing. I've told us over and over in the last, from July, about the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of times and seasons, and they knew what Israel ought to do. Hallelujah. So this morning, two people that I want us to emulate. Number one, the young lady, the captive, that understood where she was coming from, in spite of where she was. Hallelujah. Where she was coming from, in spite of where she was, it did not stop her from being bold enough to say, there's a God in Israel. And we ought also to be like that. Situations are not always going to be, I don't even know, I've never slept on bed of roses before. I I only slept on three types of beds before. The one that is a hard rock. Now you put mat on the floor and you sleep. And then the regular foam. And then the one that you pump air. And believe me, that one you pump air, you don't want to sleep on it. It's just nothing. Some people say there's water bed. I have not slept on water bed before. I don't know what a bed of roses is, but I look for the one that is comfortable. Let me kill you, laugh. So because I spend money prudently. So we're managing this mattress at home. And my wife will complain. She will complain. At this mattress, I can't sleep. I say, don't worry. We went to buy top cover. You know top cover, that one that's more foam. Top cover so that you put it before you put the bed sheet. For 1 week, she didn't complain. After 1 week, she would complain. Meanwhile, when she was complaining, it wasn't that I was not feeling it though. I was feeling it though. I was just like, this thing we can manage. There's nothing difficult about this matter. It's just, we just want to spend money. And then she kept complaining. And then one day, God tapped to me. He's a young man. He said, sir, why are you so hard-hearted? Even you yourself, you are feeling this thing. So I got up and I went to one shop like that. I looked for the best that I could get. And I brought it home. When I brought it home, she didn't believe it because the mattress bed I went to buy was 10 times more expensive than the one that we were using. And the one that shocked me the most was when my brother-in-law came. He saw the mattress. And he now came to hug me. He said, thank you very much. I thought I was laughing. Just to tell you the condition of that. So I don't know what bed of roses look like. Hallelujah. Amen. But I know that when you buy something comfortable, it's very fine. Not everything will be comfortable when it starts out. When you're doing a business, when you're running a business, it may not be as smooth as you have calculated it to be. You know, like when I buy this and I'll sell it at this rate, you forget that sometimes the government agencies will come, sometimes there will be competition, sometimes you'll just be there for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and nothing. You know? And then suddenly, one day, things begin to happen. Okay? So the fact that she was in a place of in captivity, okay, she didn't forget our roots, and she did not disconnect with our roots. And we have to be this deliberate about the God that we have been exposed to and what we have understood about him from the books and from our encounter. And it's important. The ones we understand by the books and the ones that we understand by our encounter with him. So if you have no encounter with him, we will be like this king. Obviously, the king has no encounter with God. He did not understand the fact that there's a prophet in the land. Or he did not remember. If he did not remember, that means he did not understand. Amen. At least we know that if there's trouble, at least some people will remember and then they will call and say, I don't like what I'm facing. They will call either their prayer accountability partner or they call the pastors or the elders. They call somebody that can give them that form of succor or support. But this king did not do that too. You know, he didn't do it. He just tore his clothes. It was because Elijah heard. He heard. And he now sent to him that, why are you tearing your clothes? Send this guy to me. He says, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me. And he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Amen. Next verse. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. He said, let him come so that he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. Now that's not pride. It is bragging about, and it's what we were even talking about this morning, the position of authority. We were saying that, look, a prophet in Israel is somebody that has an understanding and a relationship with God. So if you are crying and tearing your clothes, which is what most people do, hallelujah, amen, instead of him to seek God's face, he just tore his clothes and sat down there. Now help was within, and he did not look for that help. And if he had stopped here, he would have made God look like God was God isn't alive and it's not working. Because what will have happened is that Naaman will have gone back and have gone to tell his king that this man who they sent me to, he just tore his clothes to and he's just willing that he wants to carry out war. But thank God for those people that we call, what do you call it, those news carrier that took the news from the palace and sent it to the prophet. And because the prophet understood who he was and his standing with God, he said, send him to me so that he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. Now, there are always originals and fake. He's saying that they will know that there's a prophet in Israel, meaning that he will know that there's someone that deals with God in Israel. Hallelujah. You know, in this, everybody is using the title of prophet these days. We need to be careful. Amen. First of all, is that we have that responsibility. We owe ourselves that responsibility to be able to search out the scriptures and hold on to what the scripture says. So that when the chips are down and we need to wage war, when we are waging war, it starts from within. That's what sustains you. So if somebody is fainting, by the time you are carrying to the hospital, it's not the noise around that is going to help the person. It's whatever life that's left that is on the side of the person that sustains the person till he gets to where he's going. So if at all you can't even hold the center until you get the help, how are you going to get the help? Amen. How are we going to get help if we cannot, if we have nothing on our inside to fall back on and to rely on? Elisha was not, he wasn't praying. He didn't hesitate. He just said, come, tell this guy, bring him here so that he will know that there's a prophet in Israel. How many of us would have been out bold to tell people that let him come so that he will know there's God that rules in the affairs of men? Because when we read these stories, it's very easy for us to just look at it and say, okay, Naaman went, then they told him to go and wash. But there's a whole lot to pick out from the story. And it pertains to you and I. What we do with our knowledge and understanding of who God is, especially in the face of challenges or in the face of adversities. And believe you me, the young lady was not the one that was challenged. In fact, if it were some of us, it serves him right now. They've taken me captive. In fact, to his leprosy, another thing will come. That's what, Abby? Because you say, the best thing we say is captivity. Yeah, so is it, okay, then no worry now. One arm will not start working. Another one, because he has caught me. No. It was time for her to show the light and show them to God. Amen. And if you don't show people to God, let's read. If you don't show people to God, then what are you doing with God that you know? Don't be like the king that will tear his clothes and give up. Okay. Isaiah 52 verse 7. Isaiah 52 verse 7. Are we there? Are there? So I should look. He says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good tidings, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. How beautiful are the feet of those who say that. Upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news. If you look at Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, and I read from verse 14. It says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. He says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I hope you all know that the word of God is not limited to maybe a particular verse of scripture. The word of God is about the things that God has placed upon your heart and impressed upon your heart to say. Hallelujah. He says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Hallelujah. So if nobody is saying, nobody will be hearing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If no one is saying, then no one is going to be hearing. And that's why it's important for you and I to say the things we know about God. He says, faith comes by hearing. Look, the young lady spoke. She spoke to the mistress. And then the mistress caught it. Whether she was of the faith or not, she believed what the young girl said. Hallelujah. And I've told you that because of the news of Israel around, they do not doubt when things come out of Israel. So she picked it and said, good. And then she went to Naaman. Naaman picked it and went to his master. His master picked it and sent a letter. Hallelujah. And when the word of God was about to be birthed, there was a stumbling block. It was the king. He dropped it and was willing. But then Elisha picked it up and said, there is a God in Israel. And until we do this repeated saying of things that God has done for us, people will not hear. And then there will always be this controversy all out there. There is no need for any controversy. We only need witnesses to these things. Acts chapter 1. We only need witnesses. And then all the stories is gone. You know? Acts chapter 1. Verse 8. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall be witnesses, hallelujah, to me. I know I've mentioned it before. How I traveled from Lagos to Ibadan, and the young boy was on my lap all through the journey. So that those days they used to take challenge Orita, at the junction there. And I came there, sat in the bus, and I was sitting the row behind the bus. And it was those days where the conductor must always travel with the bus. So the conductor would sit on the engine, and then we all sit there. And there was a young boy I met there. I sat down, he was there on the engine seat. So I was sitting next to the conductor, and we were going to Ibadan. And when the journey started, the boy wanted to sleep. So I said, put your leg, head on my lap, and the boy slept. He slept. And in those days too, there was a toll gate at Ogiri. There used to be a toll gate there. So when we got to Ogiri, the man in front decided to buy banana. So when he bought, he now offered me banana. I said I didn't want. I did not know that he was the boy's father. So I didn't know. I don't want banana. So when we got to Ibadan, the boy just woke up, and I got down, and I crossed the road, and a lady came running after me. And she was shouting, excuse me. I don't know anybody here. So I stopped. Said, please, that boy that was on your lap, I thought he's your son. He's not with you. I said, it's not my son. The girl said, I have learned one thing today. And I was just laughing. He said, how come you were that comfortable? Because for me, the boy needed to sleep. And that simple act made the girl's mind up to always be a good person. She had to run after me to tell me, otherwise I will not be able to tell you this story. So it's a simple act. The simple act of displaying who God is goes also a long way in telling people that God exists. Hallelujah. If you open the scriptures, I tell people, change your life, change your life, change your life. It's very good. But when you live your life consistently and showing people who God is, it's even a lot more better. Amen. I've been in places where we deal with money. You know, you need to spend money here, spend money here, spend money here. And people come and say, all of us, we are the ones deciding how much they spend. Are we not spending anything for ourselves? I said, we cannot spend anything for ourselves. Because what is designed in all these things that we are designed, we are included. So it's like I say, we are having a party now for the whole church. Am I not part of the church? So if I plan anything, am I planning anything? No, I can't plan anything special for myself. And you shouldn't plan anything special for yourself anyway. If you're in a position of authority. Except the book says so. You know, when we were designing this place, this community center, Setman said he doesn't want a restroom dedicated to himself. He said, no, everybody will go and use the same restroom. And I said, why? He said, because if you give me a restroom, it will always be very, very clean. So when I enter there, you'll be like, oof, you know. So, but I will not know what's going on in the general place. So that's how we decide. So, okay, no problem. Everybody will use that. So that's why I just come say, I don't think something is working in that place. I don't think this is working. I don't think that's the way life is supposed to be. There is no separation that should be that difficult, you know. Amen. So if you go to those restrooms now, you see those taps that you press like this. Maybe that's the tap that is there. The one that was there before is the one that you open. You can't say thank you to that man. It says the one that you push up. Amen. He says it doesn't want people to stress. It doesn't want any problem. Let them just press. The water comes out and then we are fine. And make sure that it's not electrical so that you don't have to put on light. So, go and buy it. It doesn't use light. You just push it. Just go and buy it. Amen. Hallelujah. When you live life that people can see and read plainly, they will be able to understand that what is it you have that others don't have? Or what is it you are doing that I am not doing? You understand me? And the stories that we say, or the testimonies we give, they point a lot to the fact that there is God. Okay? When Sister Remy was sharing on Thursday, she shared about the fact that you were looking for a document. Okay? And then she came for, what's that program we do? School of Miracles. School of Miracles. When she came for School of Miracles, and there was ministration going on, a word came for her that the document you are looking for, you find it. But when I was going to tell her that thing, I was like, which one is documenting this matter? I was not going to say anything. No. He just said, go on. And if I had not told her, she would never have had the opportunity of saying that testimony like that in the way she said it. Because she didn't tell me before service. And she rarely talks to me anyway. It's not like my PA. My PA talks to me every day. So someone like that, if Mrs. Ajayi does not send me text one day, the following day she's in trouble. So, I just say, Mrs. Ajayi, it looks like everything is fine, Abby. No problem. See you when things are not fine. So I'm saying she didn't tell me anything before. I just told her, I said, look, I just went and said, this is what God is saying. That document you find it. Until she came for testimony on Thursday. Okay? I'd even forgotten that I said it. But I remember that when I went to that table, I said something to her. And then when she said it, I remembered. Why am I saying it? Because some people will say, what's all these things that you are doing? She needed encouragement. A document was missing, and she was looking for it. And by the time we were done with 7 days, she had found it. If you look at your life, look at the lives that you have influenced or the things that have influenced your life, you'll be able to relate with the fact that God is alive. Amen. You'll be able to relate with it. And when you read the scriptures, it'll be easy for you to learn from the scriptures as well, because you have had an encounter and you're having an encounter with God on a continual basis. That's why we can't wrap our heads around it when people are so much on fire for God and suddenly they let go. Because there on the inside of them, they will know that God truly exists and he works. Amen. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Our experiences of God are not meant for us. Amen. When you experience God, it's not meant for you. It's for you to be a witness for him. Whether you are like Joseph in the land of Egypt, or you are Joseph, or you are Mary that says, be it unto me according to your word. Hallelujah. Whichever situation you find yourself in, whatever your experience is for the next person next to you so that they can catch it and walk with God. Because, come on, look at it. I've experienced it. Of what use is it to me again? Except I have another situation that I want to experience. Am I right? Because I've experienced it. Of what use is it to me again? No use. It's somebody else that needs that encouragement. Right? To be able to understand that God works in diverse ways and ways that we do not know. But that he works. So tomorrow when anything is happening, you can sit down and say, no. God in this matter is a done deal. I told you how in 2002, I went for a job interview. And prior to that job interview, for like 3-4 weeks in the church in Ibadan, we had been having a series of teachings. It was all talking about the fact that God separates us from the crowd. Okay? He separates us from the crowd. Whatever you are going through, God separates you from the crowd. He singles you out to honor you. Provided you are giving him all the glory and honor. And so I went for this job interview. And the people, as I was meeting people on the way, they were just discouraging me that it's not your time. That's what they told me. I saw him, and you know, it's a company that I used to assemble computers for. You know, so we assemble computers, we sell it to them. So now they were recruiting. So I went there. The first person I saw was the procurement officer that comes to buy the computers, and he knows me very well. And the guy said, why didn't you tell me, Muiwa? Why did you tell me that you are coming for this interview? I said, I didn't know that I have to tell anybody that I'm coming for an interview. Me, I've spoken to God already. I didn't tell the guy that anyway. I said, I didn't know how to tell anybody. So the guy said, there's no hope for you. This batch, they know the people they want to take. Okay. So I went to the next person. I saw this next person. The person also said, okay, so where are you from? I said, I'm from here, this part of the country. He said, it's difficult. He said, you are from the part of the country where the general manager of the parent company comes from, the manager where the company comes from, this person, the third person in command also comes from that particular part of the country. So you should know that there's no hope for you. He said, do you know any of those three? I said, I don't know them. He said, there's no hope for you. Maybe the next batch. And I was just laughing. I did not let it discourage me. I didn't behave like that king that tore his clothes. I just remembered those songs that we were singing in church. I just sat down. So when I sat down and I was looking around me, we were about 200 for that interview. And then somebody would just get up, put the phone, and carry the phone. Assuming Mr. Chajere is the HR that directs the whatever. Say, please with this person. Say, okay, sir. Yes, sir. I understand that. Bam, finish. Then another person, phone ring. Then comes Mr. Chajere. I was looking at my phone. It's never going to ring. Yeah, my father just passed away. And my mother that is a widow is pitying herself in her house. And I say, okay, go my son. But there's a God. I said, when I went in for the interview, I've never seen it before. They were interviewing us five by five. So you come in fives, sit down there. And they were interviewing. And they were asking everybody very technical questions. Questions that will bring, I mean, when they answer it, if they are good. And those questions, believe me, they asked me. They were like easy peasy. You know, because it was the things I was doing. Asking one guy, how will you repair a motherboard? The other person, how many slots of memory does the motherboard come with? This was something I live with day in, day out. And I was like, why are they not asking me these questions? And then they got to me. Say, who are you? I told them my name. Say, where are you from? I said, which one? I said, I'm from. I said, which state are you from? I'm from this state. Do you have a king? You have a king in your village? I said, they have a king. Say, do you have a king in your village? I said, we have. So what's the name of your king? I said, this is the name of my king. And then they were laughing. There were six of them on the panel. They were laughing. And they were making fun. I said, I just said, well, God, this is I stand by your word. And I left. Fast forward. Let me save you. But I kept singing that song. And that's the way God works. I don't know who needs this story, because I've said it before. 2 years after, that's when I knew what God did on that day, or before that day. 2 years after I'd become, you know, when you say you have become like, without you, they must consult you before they do anything. Yeah. So at that time, 2 years after, I was already working there. So cut all the stories short, I was employed in that batch. So all those people that said, you have no hope, I was employed in that batch without knowing anybody, in quote, except God. So 2 years after, when we got employed, I was the one that designed the ID card, helped them furnish the office, arrange everything, all those. So when they want to do anything, they will always call me. And that was where we started Marketplace Gospel, in that office. Because where we started, we were idle. So when in the morning, nothing doing, in the hall, everybody just gather, yeah, let us pray. We all pray. And from there, when the company now started working, they imbibe the fact that you must pray before you start work. You know? So that was it. So 2 years after, the HR just saw me one day. Said, that same HR that was collecting food. Say, you come here. I sat down. I said, what's happening? He said, do you know how we employed you? I said, I don't know. I just know that I'm employed. He said, that day, did you not see that the questions you were asking you that day were not relevant? I said, in fact, up to today, I don't understand why you're asking me. He said, because we just wanted to put a face to your name. So we didn't have anything to ask you anymore. Because we had looked at everybody's CV, and we had gone to do our investigation in the company where you work. And the man that was supposed to be general manager of this new company that I now work with had gone to meet the man where I used to work. And believe me, I was serving before the man said, he had gone to meet the man, said, Wally, I need this boy. I was talking to the man, I said, I need this boy. For this boy to be working for you, he must have something that is extraordinary. I see that he served with you and then you retained him after. Wally said, Segun, I'm not giving you this boy. That's what he said. So before I went for that interview, the two of them had that encounter. Yana said, no. You will give me this boy. You will give me. Because for him to be working for you, I know who you are. Do you understand? I said, fine. So the HR woman said, so when you came in, we were looking for who this person was. So meaning that the first person that told me that you have to be candidate of somebody and somebody, I was actually the candidate of the man. And I did not know. Because God had gone ahead. The only thing that made me know that there was something about it was immediately they employed me. The man will walk into the hall where we all sat, about 19 of us, and say, Drew, would you follow me? And I kept wondering how the man knew my name and he said, Drew, would you follow me? So much so that one guy, we used to call him Obalola, in Ekiti land, he's going to be their next king. I don't know when. We used to call him Obalola. The guy came to me and said, "Bro, would you? This God you have, I need it." That's what he came to me. He said, "Why is it that when this man comes, he will see 20 of us and he only will just come in and say, 'Bro, would you follow me?'" And I told him, I said, "You know what? Anytime he calls me, follow me." That's the way it ought to be. Because then, I was also leading praise and worship for them in the morning. I would gather them and say, "Let us pray." And so, the guy will always keep coming. Say, "Thank you, thank you. I can see now that it's not about that you know anybody, but that it's about God." But if I can't tell him in my actions and in my words that there is God, he won't be able to relate. So when the HR woman now said, this is how we came to employ you," I now understood why they were just laughing. Because they had nothing else anymore. God had gone ahead. They just said, "Let's just put a name to him." So out of all these slots, so the woman said, "Look, in all that interview, we only needed to pick 5 more people. We already know the people we are going to employ. We needed 5 more. We already put names and faces to them. Some of them were their children, all those special letters." And it didn't stop there. Amen. It did not stop there. Because when God separates you from the pack, he does it entirely. At the time everybody was coming for that interview, everybody knew that that job had an international training attached to it. That we are going to go to Canada and the US and we're going to spend months. I did not know that they were going to travel. And so when they employed me, and then they said, "Do you want to take this aspect of this job?" I said, "No, I don't want to take it." They looked at me again. "You have done well in this, our test. You came first. Do you want to take this aspect?" I said, "I don't want to take it. I'm not interested in that one. This is the one I want to do." And then someone now comes and says, "See, if you have told them you want to take that one, that's the one that if you take, they will carry you to Canada and America." I said, "I don't want." And it looked like I was crazy. Everybody felt that this is it. You know what happened? The way God works. Because I didn't take it, there was a little problem for them. So they had to abandon or postpone that particular journey. And then when they did that, they called us again. We had another set of training, and then they did the test. I came first again. And then they came to me again. I said, "What do you want?" And I said, "This is what I want." And we did it. Until I chose what I want. And then they carried all of us and took us. I never knew that we were going to go out. And because of that, that's the first time. That was the only time, first time in my life, after about 27 years, that I would travel on the surface of the earth. When I entered the plane, I wrote in my diary. I'll go and bring that diary for you. I wrote in my diary, "There are potholes in heaven." I only thought it was on the streets of Ibadan. Amen. I wrote in my diary, "There are potholes in heaven." But then those things wouldn't have come to be. Imagine if I was running around like every other person, trying to plug myself into it. Some people plug themselves into it, fine, it worked for them. But I'm saying that all I saw, all I had, was God. Relate with God way he wants you to relate with him. Remember God in the midst of everything. It's not your last option. It's your first and only option. If Elijah was not sure, Elijah would have said, "If the king had torn his clothes, who am I?" Amen. Who am I? There was in the middle of the night, some months back, I didn't get a call. It was a flash. But then the spirit woke me up and I saw it on my phone. There's a flash. And then I called. And the person was saying, "Please pray for me, blah, blah, blah." And I smiled because I knew that for God to have gotten my attention, I thought the phone rang, but it was a flash. And for me to wake up with a flash is amazing. Because when I sleep, I sleep. I told you how this had to slap me, bam, when the Lulua was running out of life because I was sleeping. So, bah, Mr. D, wake up, this boy is dying. I said, how? Where? And so if a flash like this from a phone that was by my bedside could wake me, it wasn't the flash, it was God. If your experiences are not enough to move people towards God, then you need to go and change your relationship, work on your relationship with God. Yes, there will be times we'll be sick. There will be times we'll have difficulties. But those times never last. Hallelujah. Because what he has promised us is victory at the end of the day. Victory. Nobody should be troubled. That's what the Bible says. Let your heart not be troubled. But believe in God. Hallelujah. And believe in his prophets. If things don't seem are not going the way you want them to go, that is the time to relax and say that you are in the hands and in the wings of God. Because they will not last. You will come out victorious. There are so many things that everybody has gone through. We have the opportunity of saying it. That's why it looks like when we hold the mic, we say it. But if I give everybody the opportunity, everybody will say something that will help the other person. And that's why we can't keep quiet. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. When anybody comes to you, do you know that the country is improving? Do you know? Do you know that the country is improving? Or some people don't know that the country is improving. Is it by anybody's doing? No. It's God's doing. Hallelujah. So if there's a question around you, please provide answers that direct people to God. Provides answers that direct people to God. If there's a decision that needs money, no problem. You can give money, but also provide answers that direct them to God. There's a business that by the time we turn next year, that business will be doing 100-fold of what it's doing now. That's the impression I have in the spirit. There's a business. By this time next year, it will be doing 100-fold. 100-fold. And I see employers of labor in our midst. These are not fine words to say. That things the Spirit of the Lord is impressing upon me as a business. So if you think anything struggling, is when you plant a seed, it first dies and then it sprouts. And when it comes out, it will yield multiple folds. Is anybody doing a startup business? A startup. It's a startup. So the two of you. Let's rise up. Everybody rise up, please. Because I hear in the spirit, startup. All eyes closed.
Belongs to you in heaven and the earth. All the power belongs to you. My power belongs to you.
Power belongs to you in heaven and the earth.
All the power belongs to you.
that business that is going into 100 folds, it stands. Their startup is different. Hallelujah. Yeah. So don't say, these are the people that you say, God is saying that their startup, their business is 100 folds. No. But these ones is a startup. All eyes closed. Power belongs to you, Lord.
In heaven and the earth. All the power belongs to you. I belong to you.
Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8. The scripture says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. The end of a thing is better than the beginning. And it's the wisdom of God that has started this for you all. And it's wisdom. Knowledge, his direction will make you soar and lift you up to that pinnacle and beyond. He spoke to Abraham. He said, as far as you can see, as far as you can see, what we call it is a startup. It's a gift of God that he has placed in your hands. And he's the one that is going to complete the work. All you need to listen and get the right direction from him. Father, we thank you for this one. Thank you because everything they lay their hands upon turns to gold. As they walk, as they labor, you show to them in your words the way to go and how to do things. Now we call it a startup. They will become employers of labor indeed in Jesus' name. They will employ in fives, in tens, 20s, there will be no limit to the people that will come to you for employment, because your businesses will bloom. Hallelujah. They will prosper. There will be profit beyond imagination. Lord, we give you praise. The things that he has asked you to do, you need to do them. Yes. And you need to let go and let God let him lead you. With an understanding from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Lord, we thank you. Rebrosa kapan gratis katalia. Eka sataliga prado kapan malisa. I have put my words in your mouth and hid you in the shadow of your hand, stretching forth the heavens, saying to you, to my people, says the words that you have put in your mouth. Those words make a way. Hallelujah. Those words the path where there seems to be no path. They are the words of God. They will not return void until they have accomplished that which are set forth to accomplish. So as you build, remember to speak the word. As you build, remember to speak the word. And when you gather people, show them the word. It's the foundation of this startup. There will be no end, there will be no boundary to what you will achieve. And I hear, or beyond the borders of this country, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rabuska kapangas katana lida rabuska daya. Makanga lekanda seke tine protopa And this is what we call the final stop. Pay attention to the Spirit. Hallelujah. Pour in all that you have, all your might, all your energy, with the knowledge of God. Stay here where you are. And you see me come true, says the Lord. E kazaka ni brada basata ligada brasa danida. E katina manada braska tapisa taniga da basa taniga da basa gaya. Makanga balu brasa taniga da basa kalisa gaya. Just like Uliab and Bezalel, Matatunda, Broskadia, excellent spirit from God. That's what I see. Descending upon you, excellent spirit from God. Makaposa, they set you apart. I don't say a lot of people are doing it. Hallelujah. Because you are doing it, then God in it. Hallelujah. That excellent spirit from God, they will come to learn from you. Ekapanka pasika tida di batea. Ekas katalida pradoba satana niya da sedea. That excellent spirit rest upon you now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, from the ground of your head to the sole of your feet, the excellent spirit, that one that sets you apart. Listen and listen attentively. Hallelujah. Whatever you have written down concerning the startup, hallelujah. Go look for scriptures, because in it you will find strength, in it you will find direction. For the Lord is in this business. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we thank you. Everyone lift up your hands and give him all praise. Thank him this morning. Maka basaka lida dia. Ika basada lift up your hands. Leka tis katalida brosalia. Eka skatalida da brans kataliga da desalia. Everyone here has a word from God. Eka pasa talida da brosalia. Ekra de sangla to pratis kataliga dia. Mato Santa Ligratis Katambalisa dea, Ekra da Boskatalia. All the glory to you, Lord, Maskatabasa da Litadia. O Goma Sekatanda Ligratos Katalisa dea. Speak to him for 2 minutes, just talk to God. I see him bringing answers. Don't be shy. Tell him, hallelujah. Open your mouth and I'll feel it. Brasa Pradisa dea. Makanda skatanda pradosa taliga ekrato skatanda lisa tapranda bosenia ekatis kataliga kwaseka diskaya eka la brasa ta disa ta tinenia. There will be profit like never before. Eklatanga sakatanda lisa dea ekabada. Don't say because I work for salary. No. Ekabasa dea. There will be an increase. Hallelujah. Eklatoba satanda da probadiska dea. Eka satanda lo badisa da lisa dea. Eskatomba la basa da lisa dea. Lekandos katanda prado predebose te liga dea. Masa katanda to katanda lisa dea. You do things that you have not done in a different way. These are not generic. Hallelujah. Therefore, those that will key, I will see it. Hallelujah. We give you praise. Hallelujah to your name, Father. Ekratoba Satanda Skatedia. Oh, magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and in earth. All the power belongs to you. Power belongs to you. In heaven and the earth. ever before. Best blessing. The hand of God is upon everybody. And when the hand of God is upon you, hallelujah, there is no limit to your flight. Hallelujah. Yes. Thanksgiving. Indeed, it will blossom to life. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' name we worship. Amen.
Who has the final say?
Jehovah.